Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back. Today's Daf Yomi is Yivama is Daf Lamed Hey. I'm going to begin on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom of the Amud. In the Mishnah, we learned that there is a 3-month separation period required between marriages. And this is done in order to make that distinction, make that separation between first and second husbands, so that, for instance, if she gives birth 7 months into the second marriage, you don't need to speculate whether this child is a 7-month child from the second husband, or perhaps a 9-month child from the first husband. In order to avoid this confusion, a 3-month quarantine period, so to speak, would be implemented between marriages. So if she was divorced or widowed, she has to wait that amount of time before proceeding with the next marriage. Amar Shmuel, the kulon tzricha is lahamten shleisha chadosh. In all cases, the isha has to wait 3 months. Whether she's a gedola who has the ability to conceive, or even a ketana, even though there's no real concern about becoming mu'uberes, we apply this wait period even to a ketana on account of gedola. So we treat all women equally. But we have some exceptions. Chutz migiyoris umishachrares ketana. If a ketana converts, becomes a yid, or she was a maidservant who was released. So although, as Rashi says, we're concerned about znus in these cases, but the fact is she's a ketana, unable to conceive, and therefore we don't make a gzera in this case. The Gemara soon will tell us, because gerus and shichrur is something uncommon, and as we know, generally speaking, chachamim would only apply gzera to something which is common, something which is shechiach. So we have two of these cases accepted. We accept gerus, we accept mishachrurus. They are exceptions to the rule if they are ketana. Aval ketana bas Yisrael. But if she's a bas Yisrael and she happens to be a ketana, we do not differentiate. Tzricha lahamten gimel chadashim. There is that required 3-month wait period. And certainly when we're speaking about a gedolo who can become a uberes, irrespective of whether she was a bas Yisrael or geyeres, it doesn't matter. We don't differentiate between gedolos. Ubumai, now, what happened? Under what circumstances did she separate from her first husband? Ibumian through Mion? She just walked away from him? In this case, you need 3 months. V'amar Shmuel, Shmuel himself tells us, there's no need to wait, because this method of leaving her husband would never apply to a gdoila, and therefore there's no concern of confusion. It's not something that is reminiscent of the way a gdoila leaves her husband. So in this case, there's no gezeira. V'beget, was it through a get? Ha'amra Shmuel chadaz nimna. Shmuel himself already taught us this halacha. Domar Shmuel mi anaboy. If a ketana walks away from her husband, einat zricha lahamten shleisha chadashim. There's no need to wait. But nasan la get. If he gives her a get, and this is reminiscent of the way you separate from a gedola, so then there's that room for confusion. One account of the other, and we make the gzeirat zricha lahamten shleisha chadashim. There's a wait period even by the ketana. Shmuel himself already taught us this halacha. Why the repetition? Ella biznus. Shmuel's chiddush here is that a ketana bas Yisrael who was engaged in znus, chas v'shalom, in this case, we still have to have a 3-month wait period despite the fact that she's a ketana. You know why? The gazur rabbanim ketana mishum gdoila. We apply this rule to a ketana on account of a gdoila. Gazrin and ketana mishum gdoila? Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? A ketana is treated like a gdoila? Look at the Mishnah we learned yesterday about Tanan. In that case where they exchanged wives prior to marriage, what happens? Do they have to wait until they can go back to their real husbands? If they're a gdoilois, yes. But imayu ketanois, she'enon ruyos leila, that these women were really ketanois who cannot be misaber, who can't have children, they can just go back to their rightful husbands. There's no need to wait 3 months. This is in contrast to what Shmuel just told us, that Aktana and Agdala are treated equally by Yisrael. It was just a one-time halachic ruling that was issued at that point. But it's not something to compare to other cases. What do you mean? Mechlal da'avoy? Do you mean the story actually happened? The Mishnah doesn't seem to indicate that it was a story. Shnaim shekitchu. It's an example of a theoretical case. Elo kehara asha'isa. Rather, it means to say we treat it like a one-time event. Rashi explains, how often does this happen? Wives get mixed up before the chuppah. It's not something which is common. It's not something which is shchiach. Chacham did not see a need to apply a gzira in this case by a ktana. Exchanging is not common. So according to the first lashon of Shmuel, we're very machmer when it comes to the hamtana of gimel chadashim between two marriages. It applies to all the gdolos, and even to ktanis, except when it's really not shchiach, or if it's not even reminiscent of the gdolos situation, such as by miyun, or by znus. Sorry, or by chiluf, by the exchanging of wives, which is not shchiach either. Lishna achrina amrila. This is a second version of Shmuel's halacha. Amar Shmuel. According to the second version, he's more lenient. He makes for more exceptions to the rule. Even by some gedolos, we will not need to apply this halacha. Kulon tzrichas lahamtin shlesh chadashim. In all cases, gedolos and ketanis, they need to wait 3 months. Chutz, except migiyoros umishachreres gedol. Oh, here's a chidush. A convert, a maidservant set free, who are gedolos, who can theoretically bear children. We're not concerned. The Gemara soon will tell us, because these women, although they're involved in relations when they're in their non-Jewish status, but they take precautionary measures to avoid becoming misaber. Today they would say taking the pill. So in this case, we're not choshish, and they don't need to wait 3 months. Aval ktana bas Yisrael ena tzricha lahamtin gimel chadasha. But a ktana, even if she's bas Yisrael, she does need to wait 3 months. Why? What's going on? So again, when it comes to all the other cases, we're geyser. We say, look, even if it's not practical, we're geyser. We're concerned about a case where it would be applicable. And would be a concern. So why is it that when it comes to a ketana bas Yisrael, we're not choshish? We're not concerned about it being applied to a gdola as well. Now, what are we speaking about? B'mai, ibamiyun, if she walked off from her husband, ha'amr Shmuel chad zimna. Shmuel already tells us elsewhere that by miyun, since this is not a method applied to a gdola, it's apparent that it was a ketana, in which case we're not going to confuse the two, and therefore there's no need to wait 3 months. Ibe get, but if it was through a get, ha'akamar Shmuel debaya. Shmuel himself tells us that she separates through a get, she needs to wait 3 months, even though she was a ketana. The Omar Shmuel tells us, mi'ana boy, if she walked away from him, eina tzricha lahamtin shlesha chadashin. There's no need to wait 3 months. But Nasan lo get, if he gave her a get, tzricha lahamtin shlesha chadashim, then she has to wait those 3 months. So what does Shmuel mean when he says a ketana is exempted from this halacha? Ela biznus. Apparently there was a znus incident. In this case, we're not going to apply the 3 month period. You know why? Uznus biktana lo yishchiach. For a ketana to be engaged in this inappropriate behavior is not something which is shechiach. And therefore, we're not going to make this gzir. So according to the second lashon of Shmuel, if it's a situation of znus by a ketana, we're not choshish, because it's something like shchiach. But this is in contrast So the first version of Shmuel, where he told us that even a ketana, in a case of znus, would have to wait 3 months, because unfortunately the concept of znus is shchiach by agdola. So we make a gzera on account of agdola. And here in the second lashon, he takes a different approach. He says, look, let's focus on this particular setup. Ketana znus, that's not shchiach. This combination is loy shchiach, and therefore we're not gzera. So that's that nuance between the first and second lashon of Shmuel. Do we look at the full picture of this, or this particular circumstance? Another chilek we saw was that in the first lashon of Shmuel, any gdol has to wait. According to the second lashon of Shmuel, if it's a geyeres, mishuchreres, even if they're gdolos, you don't have to wait. And then we'll explain right now why. Geyeres or mishuchreres, the shchiach buznus. In these cases, they were certainly involved in znus before they joined the Jewish nation. Ligzer, why don't we apply Xera there? Have them wait 3 months. Says the Gemara, who the Amak Rabbi Yossi? Shmuel is following Rabbi Yossi's shita. We're going to see in a minute. He holds that these women, they take precautionary measures to avoid becoming misaber, to avoid conception. Oh, now as Rashi points out, this will not help an Isha Yisraelis. So even an Isha Yisraelis who was involved, Chachmana Letzlan is Nus, she needs to wait 3 months. What do you mean, why? Why is she different than the Gyeris, Mishachreris, who avoid Ibor? And the answer is, Rashi says, because we're Geyser Atunisuin. We're concerned about the other Isha who actually got married and then separated and wants to remarry. Well, we have to wait 3 months. So therefore, they apply the halach to all the Israelis, all the Jewish women equally. As opposed to the Goyim, the Goy who became a Yid, Geyeris, the maidservant who was partially pretty much a Goy, and then she was Meshuchar, she was set free, in which case she turns into a Israelis. In this case, there's no room for the Gezerah. There's no concern that if we allow them to marry without this 3 month period, we're going to do the same in the case of marriage, in the case of a guy who was married and then converts, becomes a Yisrael. You know why? Because, as Rashi points out based on the Gemara coming up, that these women are careful in advance, in anticipation of their conversion or being set free by their owner, they prepare themselves. They don't want to create confusion, mix up their children, create confusion in the yichus of their children. Therefore, they ensure that they remain free of ibur, and therefore, there's no concerns there. We don't have to make them wait 3 months. Okay. Where do we find this concept? That there's less of a concern by a goy, who the amak Rabbi Yossi, like Rabbi Yossi the Sanya, hagiyoris, a Isha who is Megayer, Vashvuya, an Isha who is taken into captivity, Vashivcha, or maidservant, Sheniftu. This is going on the prisoner who was redeemed, Vishenizgairu. This is going back to Geyeris. Vishenishtachru, this is going on the Shivcha. Srichos Lahamtin Gimachadoshim, if they want to marry a Yid, you have to wait 3 months. Zivir Rabbi Yehuda. You want to know what's going on? You want to know if the child was fathered by a Jewish father or not? You want to ascertain the yichus. So to achieve clarity, wait 3 months. 3 months is enough time to determine whether she's mu'beres. That's when you start seeing the ibur. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, in all these cases, tzrichos lahamtin gimel chadash. Rabbi Yehuda, mater le'areis v'lenase miyad. Go ahead, marry right away. Amar Rabbi, my time with Rabbi Yossi, what's his reason? Because Savar Isha Mezana, Misha Meshes B'Moich, an Isha who's engaged in Znus, will engage with a Moich, some sort of wad, some sort of material, a barrier, pretty much a barrier, Kadesh like this Aber, to prevent the Zera from achieving conception. And therefore, in all these cases, Giyurish, Shvuyish, all these cases where there's a concern about Znus, the Isha will avoid Ibor, in which case there's no concern of confusion. Amalei Abaye, Bishleim El Giyuris. I understand that a Giyuris will be careful. You know why? It's in the works. It's on the table. Kimi Tadata Le Giyuris. She plans on converting. Min Tera Nafsha, she'll guard herself. Kadei Lahavchin Vein Zera. She Nizra BeKedusha, to differentiate between a child who was fathered by a Jewish father, Ubein Zera, she Nizra Shle BeKedusha, and between the child that was fathered when she was not a Yisraelis. So it's a question of which father it is. It's a question of when she conceived it. So certainly she wants to keep that distinction. She'll be careful to avoid Ibor when she's still a guy. Likewise, Shvuya, Vishivcha Nami, these captive or maidservants, Nami Kivin the Shamim Marayu. Once they overhear their captors, their bosses, planning their release, Umim Tirinafshayu. They listen in and they are careful now to avoid Ibor. But let's say a shifcha was released due to the fact that her boss damaged her eye or her tooth, and the halacha has to set her free. That's a sudden event, a sudden development. That's not anticipated. It's not planned. In that case, how can you justify the halacha? Perhaps you'll say, you're right. If it's a sudden development, Rabbi would certainly agree that there's a concern. But now we go into the Mishnah. Otherwise, Anusa Mafuta, an issue was engaged in a forced relationship or coerced relationship, she has to wait that 3-month period before she remarries. Go ahead, get engaged, get married right away. We're speaking about Oines and Mafata. That's not something expected or anticipated. So bottom line is, what is Rav Yossi's reason when he's mater these women to go marry right away? Elam Rabbi says, Abai, I'll tell you the pshat. Isha mizana, an Isha was engaged in these extramarital relations with men. Misa peches, she will overturn herself. Shleitis aber, after the act, she has to make a quick bodily shift so that the zera is diverted, doesn't achieve ibor. That explains all these cases. Whether it's a giyaris, a shifcha, a shvuya, even the shifcha who was released on account of the shein va'ayin being damaged, or the oines, the mafata, all these cases. Bottom line is, she avoids becoming mu'uberes. V'idach, what does the other sheet hold? Rabbi Yehuda, who is concerned even in these cases, why isn't this a good method? He says, look, perhaps it works sometimes, but chashinan were concerned, shemar lo nishafcha yafa, perhaps she didn't shift herself enough in a way that's going to be an effective a preventer of Ibor. So bottom line is, according to Rabbi Yossi himself, we're very makel. He says even when it comes to an Isha Yisraelis, that's a new chiddush, which we didn't have up until this point. An Isha Yisraelis is a g'tayla. But since she's involved in Znus, she'll make sure that she doesn't become uberis. And the same thing applies to the shifcha who had the shein va'ayin damaged. There, in that case as well, even though it wasn't planned or anticipated, but isha mezana misapechas. Okay, so let's make a quick summary of the sugi up until this point. Generally, an isha has to wait 3 months between marriages in order to identify the child. We have some exceptions to the rule. We have Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel in the first version, who says that it applies to all women, whether they're adults who are capable of bearing children or even ketanis. We do have 3 exceptions when it comes to ketana. Exceptions based on the fact that either they're not common cases, such as by the huchlifu, the women who were switched before the marriage, or the giyoris, mishachreres, ketanis, because the whole concept of gir and shichra is not common, therefore we don't include the ketana in the case. And in the case where the ketana just left her husband, that's a method which is totally not reminiscent of the way a gdela leaves her husband, and therefore there's no room for gzeira atu gdela. In Shmuel Beis, we apply more exceptions. So of course, ketana huchlefu, and gir is mishachreres, and maimiyun, but he adds znus as well, because znus with a ketana is uncommon. We even have exceptions by the G'dayla. A G'yeris, a M'shechereris, who are G'daylais, we're not concerned. You know why? Because Shmuel follows Rabbi Yossi's concept that an Isha who's involved in these activities will make sure that she avoids Ibor. She avoids Ibor. And therefore, we're not choshesh for Ibor when she was at a pre-giur or pre-shichrur stage. But, as Rashi points out, if she's a Yisraelis and a gedolah, even if it's a znus experience, we apply the gzera on account of Yisraelis who actually married properly. This concern does not apply by the goyim, because, as we explained at the end of the sugya, a goy, even if she's properly married, but if she's expecting shichur, or she's expecting to convert, she'll make sure to do something to avoid ibur, in order to be mavchen, to allow her to make that distinction between a child born when she was a goy, conceived when she was a goy, and a Jewish child. Finally, we have Rabbi Yossi, who adopts a more lenient approach. He says, not only in the above-mentioned cases do we not apply gzera, even by a znus of Yisrael gedoyla, we're not concerned because isha misapechas yafe yafe. And likewise, by the shifra, who was released through the shein v'ayin method, in that case as well, since it's extramarital activities, they are misapech to avoid evil. Vimayu kahanas. Getting back to the Mishnah, where there was an unfortunate switch of women, and they were over all those averis and have to bring all those karbonis. The mission concludes with the phrase "Imhayu kehanis." If these noshim were actually kehanis, which sounds like they were from families of kehanim, they were daughters of a kehan. Nifsalu min hatruma, and according to some geruses, nifsalu min hakahuna. Okay, so as a result of this unfortunate mishap, they become disqualified from kahuna. Now, the Gemara at this point figures, disqualified from kahuna means that although this story happened, it wasn't anybody's fault. So she interacted with her, with a stranger, with an erva. Remember, each one is an ish's ish, right? So they interacted with a stranger as married. So even though it's considered an oinus, an accident, it's going to disqualify her from being married, staying married, or getting married to a kohen. That's the halacha. By Yisrael, it doesn't work like that. Eishes Yisrael is mutter, even if she was engaged in znus ba'oinus. But here we're speaking about, in a kohen context, she can't marry a kohen under these circumstances. It sounds in the Mishnah. That's only because she was born into a kohen family. Her father is a kohen. Kayhana is in, only by Kayhana is Israelis, no? Doesn't apply to Israelis? And that's untrue. If she's a wife of a Kayin, if she's currently married to a Kayin, even if she was a Israelis from home, this experience disqualifies her from the kahuna. She has to leave her husband. Ema rather learn like this. If their husbands were kayhanim, this experience makes them usher on the husband. Again, we have a kasha, neshei kayhanim in. Only if they're currently married to a kohen, neshei Yisrael mloy. Suppose they're currently married to Yisrael. Well, this nus experience, this allows her from marrying a kohen in the future as well. V'amar v'amram. Rav Amram told us, ha milsa, amalan rav sheshes. This following halacha was taught to us by Rav Sheshes. Van Harinu La'ainen Mimas Nisen, who actually brought us a raya So there's halacha from a mishnah later on, from Gimel. What is the halacha? Eish Yisrael Shenensa, the wife of a Yisrael, who experienced an oinus, aval bishem materes labal, even though she can stay married, because it wasn't willing, it wasn't rotzen. Psula laguna, she can't go on and marry a kohen. So even if she's currently married to a Yisrael, this experience disqualifies her, this allows her from marrying a kohen in the future. Amar Rav, are you right? Hachi ka'amar. Mishnah is not speaking about this halacha altogether. Rather, im hayu kayhanis, nesois liyisrael, we're speaking about the truma. If these daughters of kayhanim, who ate truma prior to their marrying a Yisrael, which disqualifies them from truma, as long as they're married, so im hayu kayhanis, nesois liyisrael, at that point they had this oinus experience. You know what it does to them? Suppose they end up leaving their husbands, the Israel, and they go back home. So typically, she reverts to her former status with respect to truma eating privileges, but in this case, not. Nifsulu mina truma de ben Yishayu, this oinus experience, the oinus with the strange man, which is pretty much a znus, because she's an Eshes Ish, it's chayv krisis. It makes her puzzle, not only from going and marrying a kohen, but she loses the achilas truma privileges, the benishayu, from back home, and it's called benishayu, the woman's home, basically, when she goes back home to her father. So bottom line is, even a znus ba'inus makes her usher to marry a kohen, and makes her puzzle from eating truma. Hadron aloch, arbo ach. Okay, we're on to a new pair. Kacholis leivimt. So we know that a yivama is a candidate for either Yibum or Chalitza. Now what happens through Yibum? So when the Yavam lives with her at marriage, she becomes his wife, and she's Yaitse the Mitzvah, he's Yaitse the Mitzvah of Yibum. If he wants to be Garish, he has to give her a get. What happens through Chalitza? So that too will exempt them from the Mitzvah, and now she's free to marry anybody she wishes. But Midrabanan, there are two halachas that are applied in this case. Number one, a chalutza is asr to go marry a kohen. We had this a couple of days ago. It's based on a drasha, a smachta, v'isha, grusha, v'isha, we include a chalutza as well. Just like a grusha, a chalutza also cannot marry a kohen, because a chalutza is reminiscent of a grusha. Likewise, midrabanan, one may not engage with the relatives of his chalutza. We treat her like a divorcee, and just like you can't marry the relatives of a grusha, likewise, relatives of a chalutza, and she can't marry his relatives either. We treat them as divorced. This is the din midrabanan. Says the Mishnah, ha-choyles li-vimtoi. Suppose Reuven passed away, leaving Rachel behind, and Shimon approached Rachel and did chalitza. V'nimtis mo'beres. It turns out that she was expecting. And she actually gave birth. What happens now? How do we treat the chalitza that had already occurred? So it depends. Bizman shavlat shel kayama. The child turns out to be a healthy child, a viable child, in which case Reuven actually has a child. Yibum is inapplicable here. So the chalitza is valueless. Who muta b'krivus? We treat the chalitza as though it never happened. He can go marry the relatives of Rachel. He mutaris b'kriva. She can marry his relatives. V'lei pasla manakuhuna. The chalitza has no effect on her marrying a kohen in the future. Look, she had a child. There's no need to make yibum a chalitza. But ein avlat shel kayam. Suppose the child is an unhealthy child and he's not viable. In this case, the departed fellow Reuven never had children, and she needs Yibum or Chalitza. Chalitza turns out to be a valid Chalitza, and we treat it as such. Who also b'kreiva seah? He can't marry her relatives. V'yasur b'kreivav, she can't marry his. U'paslo mena kuhuna, she becomes pasal from kuhuna. The same halacha applies to Yibum. Hakoines is Yivimtoi. He did Yibum. V'nimza smoberes, it turns out she was expecting. V'yol dan, she gave birth. It depends what happened. If it was a viable child, in which case there was no place for Yibum, Yaitzi, he has to separate. They have to bring a carbon, because it turns out that she was an Eishas Ach, a regular Erva. There's no justification for Yibam in this case. They need to bring a Chatas. But, V'im Ein Havlat Shel Chayama, if it turns out that the child was not Bar Kayama, and he's not to be reckoned with, and it says, oh, she had no children, and Yibam was mandated, Yeh Kayim. In that case, he can hold on to her. Let's say we're not sure. A child was born, say, 7 months into the second marriage. Safek Mentisha L'Rishon. Now we don't know whether he's a 9-month, a full-term baby belonging to Reuven, or Safek Ben Shiva L'Achon, or he's a 7th-month premature baby belonging to Shimon. There's no choice but to say Yotzi. He has to separate because she might be an Erva, she might be an Isha who doesn't need Yibam, because Reuven had a child. Havlat Kasha, but listen to this. The child is okay. Either way, Rashi says, Miman Avshach. You know why? Because if he's Reuven's child, that's fine. If he's Shimon's child, that means that Reuven never had a child, and Yibam was mandated, so it's fine. Either way, the child is safe. But, V'chayavin Basham Tali, Shimon and Rachel have to bring a carbon Asham Tali on account of this suffix that perhaps this was Reuven's child. She did not need Yibam. And in effect, Shimon married an Erva. Itmar, we learned, a machlekes between Riach and Resh Lakish, in the case of Acheles Mu'beres, Ve'yipila. Suppose he did Chalitza to Mu'beres, and then she miscarried. It turns out that Lima Freya, retroactively, there was no children. Retroactively, she was Yivam. Can this Chalitza work? Can the Chalitza be activated retroactively? We have a machlokes. Between Rabbi Yochanan and Amar, he says, Eina tzricha chalitza mena achen. Of course, it's a proper chalitza. It's not considered a deficient chalitza, which would require all the brothers to go and do their own chalitza, as we learned a couple of days ago. Chalitza, ideally, would be a chalitza which serves as an alternative to Yibam. In that case, when one brother does it, he exempts them all, but in a chalitza where it's deficient, basically it means the situation is not Yibam and Abel, such as over here, when she's Mu'beres. You're not meant to do Yibam, as we learned in the Mishnah. So in this case, the Chalitza done to the Isha, even though it turns out that it was justified, perhaps it would not be considered a proper Chalitza. Says Rabbi Yechon, yes, it is. Retroactively, we treat it as a proper Chalitza, and once it was done by one brother, he exempts the ball. Rish Lakish Amar, no, it's Tzricha Chalitza Ben Achen, it's Chalitza. As it was being done, it was an improper chalitza because Yibam was not an allowed option at that point. You can't do Yibam when she's Mu'beres. So although it turns out that it was needed, the child was not Kayam, the child was a non-viable child. In the case, there is chalitza. But at the point of the actual chalitza being done, this was an unknown. And since Yibam was not an option, the chalitza is called a chalitza psula, in which case all the brothers have to go over the process and do it again. The Gemara explains, Rabbi Yechon Omar, ein not tzricha chalitza menachan, she doesn't need more chalitza. Chalitza mu'beras, shma chalitza. The chalitza done to an expected woman has value, is applied. Ubias mu'beras, shma bia, likewise. A mu'beras, even though you're not meant to approach her at that point, because perhaps the child will be viable, in which case she's never, but b'diavad, the bia that was done has validity. That's Rabbi Yechon's shita. We can ratify it retroactively when we see the child is a non-viable child. V'resh lakash amar tzricha chalitza menachen. Why? Chalitza muberes loishma chalitza. Ubias muberes loishma bia. Why? But my kemifligi, what's the point of the machlekes? Iboy Yisim Akra, perhaps based on a pasuk. Iboy Yisim Asvara, perhaps based on rationale. Iboy Yisim Asvara, perhaps based on logic. Rabbi Yechon Asvara, he says like this. It's just a matter of facts here. Right? Im Yov Eliyo V'yemer, suppose Eliyo and Ovi would arrive and say, look, Dehadi Abra, this child that she's carrying, Mepuli Mapla, she will miscarry him. Let's say this would happen. You can see the future. Mila bas chalitza v'yibami. We did not accept that she is even currently a yivama, an active yivama who requires chalitza or yibam. Hashtanami. Now as well, even though you weren't not in the possession of those facts, you were not really aware of that information beforehand when you did the chalitza, when you did the yibum. But bottom line is, it turns out that you're right on. You were on target. You were lucky. She miscarried. Tigli musul mafreya. So in hind vision, it turns out she was a yivama. She did need yibum or chalitza, and therefore it's valid. First look, Shomer, no. Tigli musul mafreya l'amrina. We don't look back in hindsight. At the point of yibum and chalitza, was it appropriate? Was it in place? No. You had no idea whether or not she really needs it, and therefore, it cannot be considered a proper process. What do you say, Makro? Perhaps based on a pasuk. Rabbi Yechonah Sovar, when the pasuk describes his fellow passing away without children, it says, Ubein ein loy. He has no children. Amrachman, as the pasuk, has how the pasuk describes him. V'hal lesley, bottom line is, he has no children. Look, she miscarried. And therefore, the chalitza or the yibam is valid. V'resh lokesh amar, ubein ein loy. We had this a couple of days ago. It's the extra yud in there, which leads to the drasha of ayin alav. Focus, concentrate, investigate, look into this matter. And if she's expecting, wait, hold your horses. Wait and see what happens. Torah here is indicating to you not to jump the gun. A premature yibum machalitza, while she is still muberes, her situation unknown, that's not justified and not valid. Okay, so once again, we have a shaila by Muberes, who ended up miscarrying. The child ended up being not a viable child. Can we look back and say, well, the chalitza even done in the Ibur state is considered valid, or do we say no? At that point, it was unknown, and therefore it's considered pasul. Rabbi Yechonah says it's kosher. Rish Lakish says pasul. Eis vei Rabbi Yechonah Rish Lakish. He's going to have a kasha Rish Lakish from our Mishnah. He's going to prove that it works. Ein avlad shel kayama. His fellow did chalitza. Then they discover that she is muberes. If the child is not kayama, the chalitza takes hold. In fact, hu asur b'kreiva yoseo. He may not marry her relatives. V'hi asur b'kreiva. Same with her to his relatives. U'pasul mana kahuna. She's considered a chalutza. Says Rabbi Yechonon, doesn't this prove my point? It works well according to me. The Amina, Chalitza Muberes, Shema Chalitza. A Chalitza applied to Muberes has validity. That explains the Mishnah. Mishnah Machi, Pasla. That explains why the Chalitza invalidates her from marrying a Kohen. It's a valid Chalitza. Elo the Dach, but according to you, the Amras, Chalitza Muberes, Eloi Shema Chalitza. Chalitza done to Muberes does not carry weight. Am I Pasla Manakunas? So why does it have any effect on her status? Amalei Rish Lakish responds, Midrabanan, Luchum Rabba'alma, you're right. Minatera has no validity, but Midrabanan we treat it as a proper chalitza to the extent that we prevent her from marrying a kohen. Ikadami, in the second version, it was Eisvi Rish Lakish Rabbi Yechon. He was the one asking to Rabbi Yechon, Ein Avlad Shal Kayama. If the child ends up being not Kayama, who also becurves Seha? So he may not marry her relatives, via Surabi Krevav, and likewise she to his relatives, Upasla Manakahuna, she pasl. Bishlem Lididi. This works according to me, says Rish Lakish. That mina I hold. Chalitza's Muberes, Loishma Chalitza. That Chalitza done to Muberes doesn't really matter. Hainu Diktani, Pasla Manakahuna, Luchumra. That explains why the Mishnah says the Chalitza disqualifies her from marrying a kohen. That's all it says. Which sounds like it's just a chumrah. We treat it like a proper chalitza in order to avoid misconception and confusion. But like Tanya, the Mishnah clearly does not say Eina tzricha chalitza menachin. She doesn't need any more chalitzas, which would indicate that chalitza is a proper chalitza. Because it's not true. It is a chalitza psula, and she needs to go back to the other brothers to address their bond to her. Elo didach, but according to Rabbi Yechonon, that a chalitza in this case is proper and valid. Eina tzricha chalitza menachem mibayle. The Mishnah should have clearly said that this chalitza is a full-fledged chalitza which carries the day, which exempts her completely and she no longer has to make her rounds amongst the brothers. Amalei Shabichan responds, Enachanami, the truth is that it's considered a proper chalitza, and she no longer has to make her rounds around the brothers and get more chalitzas. Why did the Tanur Reish lay pasla? Why did the Mishnah say only pasla min hakohuna? Why didn't the Mishnah explain it further? Because in the Reisha, in the case where it was a proper child, in which case the whole chalitza didn't work, the Mishnah uses the word lay pasla. The chalitza does not disqualify her from marrying a kohen. Right, which is really the only thing that the Mishnah could have said. Right, in that context. Right, what could we say? She needs more chalitza. She doesn't. She ended up having a child. She's not a yivama. So therefore, on account of that, the Mishnah used matching terminology in the Seifa, Tana Seifa, Pasla, than the Seifa, where it turns out that the Vlad was not Kayam, and she needed Yibum or Chalitza. The Chalitza does take effect and disqualifies her from marrying a Kohen, but really it's more than that. It's a proper Chalitza, and she no longer needs to make her rounds to the other brothers. The Chalitza is considered an end-all Chalitza. Okay. Says the Gemara, we're going to focus on the next part of the Mishnah. Until now we spoke about the chalitza portion of the Mishnah, now we're going to focus on the yibam portion. And basically the same type of kashas back and forth. Eisvei Rabbi Yechanan Rish Lakish comes Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan was the one who said that yibam, even in a ibur state, which turned out to be an unsuccessful ibur, even that ibur at that point, is considered a valid yibam. Not l'chatchila, but b'diyeved, once it's done, it's done. Here comes a kasha. Eisvei. Rabbi Yechanan Rish Lakish, Ein Avlad Shel Kayama. In the second portion of the Mishnah, he did Yibam. Yibam, it turns out, she was Mu'uberes. It was an unsuccessful pregnancy, which in effect means she's a Yivama. What does the Mishnah say? Yikayim. Yikayim means that he's free to hold on to her because she's a proper wife, she's a Yavama, who he did Yibum to. Okay? Now, Bishlam Lididi, this works well according to me. Damina Chalitza Maberes, Shma Chalitza. I maintain that even in the state of Ibur, Chalitza works. Ubias Muberes, Shma Bia. Bia as well works in that state. Bishamachik Tani Dekayim. That explains what Mishnah says that it's up to him. He can hold on to her. Right? Doesn't have to, but if he wants to, he can hold on to her. Because it turns out that she's a Yevama, and the Bia that he did beforehand worked. Right? So now it's up to him. He can hold on to her, stay married, or they can separate at that point. He already did his mitzvah sibum. But according to Yuresh Lakish, who maintains that Chalitza Smuberes lo ishma Chalitza, U Bia Smuberes lo ishma Bia, you can't leave it up to him. Yikayim, it's optional. Can hold on to her or separate. He has to do Yibum, which was yet undone. At this point, no Yibum was done. Yachser v'yivoyl v'yikayim y'boyle. The Mishnah should explain itself. He has to go ahead and do Yibum again. Ma yikayim, yachser v'yivoyl v'yikayim v'nechanami. That's what the Mishnah means. Yikayim means he has to, again, do Yibum, live with her as married. The le'sagi is a gerus le'sagi, b'lavochi. It doesn't work without that. Meaning, of course, you have to go back and do the Yibum. Because Yibum done in a state of mu'beres doesn't work. Ikadamri. There's another version of Eisrei Shlakish Rabbi Yechanan. It was the other way around. Shlakish Eisrei Rabbi Yechanan. From the words of the Mishnah, Ein avlad shel kayam, yikayim. From that same, very same phrase. It was an unsuccessful pregnancy. She's a Yivama, yikayim. The Gemara figures at this point, yikayim means he has to hold on to her. He has to do another Yibum. Bishlam Lididi works according to me, Damina, because I maintain Chalitza Smuberes, Loishma Chalitza. Ubiya Smuberes, Loishma Bia. That explains the Mishnah. Haina Tani, Yakayim. What does yikayim mean? According to this version, Yachser v'yivol, v'yikayim. The Sagabalav Hachi has to go ahead and live with her again as married, because otherwise he hadn't done a mitzvah. because a biyadon when she was muberes doesn't really carry much weight. This supports my opinion, says Rish Lakish. Elo l'didach, but according to you, why yikayim? He's forced to hold on to her. He already did his mitzvah. Ratza yaitzi. Ratza yikayim abayda. Mishnah should have given him the option. You can separate, you can hold on to her. He already did his mitzvah. And a chanam, yes, it's true. That's true. It's optional. Why did the Mishnah say yikayim? On account of the terminology used in the first part of the Mishnah. I did tani reisha yaitzi on account of the word yaitzi employed in the first part of the Mishnah. When it turns out that the Vlad is Kayama, and it was a wrongful Yibam, so he has to separate. Tananami Seifa Yikayim, we use matching, contrasting terms in the Seifa. Over there it was Yaitzi, or Yaitzi Kayim can hold on to it, but of course, he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to hold on to it, because he already did his Yibam. A Yibam done for Moberes works. Meisve, here comes a Kasha or Biechen. He marries his Yivama. Turns out she was expecting. So there were two Yivamis there from the same family. He did Yibam to Rachel. He discovered that she's Muberes. Leah can't marry out. She can't marry a stranger. Why? You can't take a chance. Shema Yehi Vlachel Ben Kayam. It might turn out that this Ibur and Rachel is going to be a successful pregnancy. And therefore, don't take chances. Adrab, just the opposite. Ki havi avlad ben kayama. If you're concerned about that, of course, miftar tzarasa. The child will be viable. A healthy child. A living child. Then there's no yibam needed at all. Of course, the tzar is free to marry. El aima, rather like this. Shema lo yehi avlad ben kayama. You can't take a chance. It could turn out that Rachel's Ibur will not be successful, in which case Yibam would be required. So, Mrs. Tzara, Leah, don't go marry out. Wait around. See what happens. Says the Gemara, there's a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. If it works even for Moberes, why can't Leah marry out? Tipater bevia shel chaverta. Why can't she become pater through the yibum done to Rachel? Basically, it's meman of shach. Either way, she's good. If it turns out that the child is a ben kayama, in which case, family had a child, there's no yibum. Of course, Leah is free to marry out. If it turns out that the child dies, in which case the fellow passed away, Reuven, had no children. Yibam is needed. Well, guess what? You did Yibam. You did Bia to Rachel when she was Muberes. And that works according to you, Rabbi Yechanan. I'm Rabbi. I'll tell you pshat. All agree that Bia for Muberes doesn't work. So he's changing the whole equation. You're not allowed to do Bia to Muberes. You can't take a chance. So Bia in that state is not valid. The question is regarding chalitza. Rabbi Yechanan Savar, chalitza is muberes, shema chalitza. Bia is muberes, loy shema bia. Although bia done to muberes doesn't work, but chalitza does. Rish Lakish Savar. Bia is muberes, loy shema bia. V'chalitza is muberes, loy shema chalitza. According to him, there's no differentiation, as I explained earlier. Until you know what's going on, you can't apply bia or chalitza. Going to Rabbi Yechanan? No. Bia, you can't. You're taking a chance, a risk of an avera, but chalitza, that works. That explains the price. Tzara, don't go marry out because perhaps the bia done, because the bia done to Rachel when she's a muberes won't work. So even if the child ends up being a einei bekayama, if she was an unsuccessful pregnancy, in which case she needs a yibam, but the yibam at this point doesn't work. So wait around, see what happens. Amalei Rav, Maman of Shah, I don't understand this distinction. I bias moberes shma bia, chalitza moberes shma chalitza. How can you draw that line between bia and chalitza? Either all or nothing. If bia works, chalitza works. V bias moberes loy shma bia, And if it's like you're saying that bia doesn't work, chalitza smobers namilushma chalitza. Chalitza wouldn't work either. You know why? Don't kaimelon. We have a formula that we're meant to follow when it comes to yibum. Remember, yibum and chalitza are like two sides of the coin, right? So either both are activated or none. If you don't have the ability to do one, how can you do the other? The kala oyla liyibum, an isha who presents herself liyibum, oyla lechalitza, is a chalitza candidate as well. The kala shein oyla liyibum, but an isha is not a candidate for yibum, such as the mu'baris, according to your opinion, Abayi, ein oyla oyla lechalitza, cannot be a candidate for chalitza either. So your setup doesn't work. Elam Rava. Said Rava, I'll explain to you the price. What was your kash? We're speaking about a case where Reuben passes away, leaving behind Rachel and Leah. He did Yibum to Shimon, did Yibum to Rachel. We tell Leah, wait, hang around, don't marry out. The question was, Mimanav Shech. According to Rabbi Yechon, what's the problem? If the lot is Shel Kayama, well, guess what? You don't need Yibum at all. If the vlad is not shel kayama, then the bia done to the isha is considered valid retroactively. The answer is as follows: Elam Rava hachikamer. The brayse means like this: Hakoyin is yivimti, v'nimtzis mu'beres. Harez eloy tenase terasa. Yibum to mu'beres does not allow the Torah to marry out. Shem yeh vlad ben kayama. Maybe the child will be a viable child. U'bias mu'beres loy shma bia. Be it done to Muberis. In this case, when it turns out that the child is a Vlad Kayam, of course, that Bia doesn't work. Right, the whole reason why it worked, according to Rabbi Yochanan, was in a case where it turns out that it was an unsuccessful pregnancy, and you apply that concept retroactively. But in this case, we're concerned that perhaps it is going to be a viable child. Right? In that case, anything done to the mother during the pregnancy period is certainly not valid. Because she's not a Yivama, she doesn't need Yivam. Ubiyas Muberes, loish Mabiyah. Bia done in this state to the Muberes doesn't work. Bechalitis Muberes, loish Machalitza. Likewise, Chalitza doesn't work. But then the question was, who cares? Why do you need to get involved in Yivam or Chalitza to begin with if she's going to have a proper child? So either way, why can't the Tzara just go marry out? Mimanav Shech, right? If it turns out that the pregnancy is unsuccessful, so the bia done to Rachel is a valid bia according to Rabbi Yochanan. We treat it as such retroactively. If the child is a successful, viable, healthy child, then you don't need yibum at all. Here comes the punchline. Va'avlad einoi poiter ad sheyetzi la'avir oilam. We're concerned that she might give birth to a healthy child, and halacha is, we only reckon with this child when he's born. When he's born, you have a living being. Now, the mother doesn't need yibum. But as long as she's still in the Mubera state, she's in limbo. In the interim, you can't do anything. You're stuck. Right? So we're sort of looking back retroactively and saying, look, right now it turned out to be a proper child. No yibum is required going forward. But this status was not applied when she was still expecting. When do we consider the child as a child of his father? When do we consider Reuben having left the world with and leaving children behind? That's when the child was born. That's when we consider him as having left the child behind. But not when she was Muberis. So in the pre-birth state, you don't treat this child as a born child. In this case, you can't. You can't allow the tzara to marry out. She's not yet pater. On the other hand, you can't say, well, let the bia done at that point work. It turns out the child was a viable child. No yibum was needed, and the bia is invalid. That's the pshat in the braisa. Okay, let's do a quick chazar of today's daf. We discussed the halach of separation. So between marriages, between interaction with men, you have to be mavchin. You want to determine the identity of the child the second time around. Therefore, you have to make that 3-month separation period to determine whether or not the isha is muberes from the first husband. Typically, we apply it to all cases, even gedoyle, even ketanos, goyim, yidden. But we have several exceptions. We have Shmuel Alev, Shmuel Beis, and Rabbi Yosi. You had a chiddush that anytime isha is engaged in improper relations, she ensures that she's not being misaber, and therefore, even by a Yisraelis who's mezana, we're not concerned. We had these women who were swished before the nesuin. It's an issue of chayv krisis, but it's an oinus. Still, the isha is possible from marrying a kohen or from eating truma back home. A chalitza or bia done to muberes when it turns out that the child is in loy kayama, not a viable child, in which case yibum was required. How do we treat the chalitza done when it was in an ibur state? Rabbi Yochanan says it's okay, based on a svara. Look, it's just a matter of factualities. If you know, if you would have known to begin with that this would happen, you would treat her as a yivama. So if it turns out she's chayv in yibum, it's valid. Or based on a pasuk, bein engloy, he has no children. It turns out that he has no children. In both cases, Rosh Lakish says it doesn't work. And we had a chiddush at the end of the Gemara, according to all shittos. When do we consider this man as having left behind a child? When the child was born. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.